Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. And once again, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, December 17th, 2020, just a week away from Christmas Eve and the beginning of Christmas 2020. I really sincerely pray that through everything that all of us are suffering from and battling this year with the virus and loss of jobs and all of the things that we are struggling with, I pray that this will be a blessed and prosperous Christmas for both you and your family. This Thursday, today, I'm continuing on the teaching series on Jesus, the reason for the season. And it's been a pleasure to teach you about the hope, the salvation, the healing that we have in Christ as we meditate and think about Christmas. Today on the broadcast, I want to take a unique perspective on Christmas that maybe you haven't thought about. It's based on one of the texts of Scripture quoted very often during Christmas. And I'm referring to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. There are so many beautiful Christmas texts, but truly this is one of my favorites. And I want you to hear what Isaiah says about the birth of Christ in this rich passage. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The multifaceted meaning of his name is so rich. He is wonderful. Jesus was compassionate and full of mercy. As a counselor, he always pointed his people in the right direction to follow and obey God. Mighty God, he was God manifested in the flesh, El Gabor. Everlasting Father, the originator of eternity, literally in the Hebrew. And of course, Prince of Peace, bringing peace between God and man through his death, burial, and resurrection. But I want to come back to one of the phrases here, and the government upon his shoulder. Today, I'm sure that you can agree with me. We are literally in a battle for our freedoms, for this election, which we as patriots believe was stolen from us. And literally, the deep state has infiltrated our government in so many ways that, as I mentioned last broadcast, even the Supreme Court refuses to look deeply into the case of fraud, but because of technicalities and standing, they dismissed the lawsuit brought about by Texas on all of the states that had changed the rules for a constitutional election. And so our government is very sick in many ways, very corrupt. And without the leadership of Donald Trump, we are in for some very stormy days ahead. And so most of us are thinking about the government. And yet, when we come to this text about Jesus, it says, the government shall be upon his shoulders. That reference is very important because it's pointing toward a future reign of Christ on the earth at his second coming, when he comes to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will literally then fulfill that text of Scripture, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. We have had world leaders in the past, from those that tried to establish themselves as those that could run the world and change the lives of billions of people, from Genghis Kong to Hitler to Mussolini. We've had all kinds of so-called leaders, but there is one leader filled with righteousness, standing for truth. He is the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. And Jesus, when he comes to reign, he will reign, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. He will reign justly. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will bring true justice and true peace to this planet. And I want to talk to you in depth about that today. This may be a concept you don't think very much of, but in a world that is desperate for peace, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ will be a welcome time of peace, really, for all of mankind. The millennial reign will be a period of time in which Jesus Christ will reign on earth for 1,000 years as the sovereign ruler in fulfillment of many Old and New Testament prophecies. During that reign, Satan will be bound and sealed in the bottomless pit so that he will have no influence in the earth to deceive mankind. What a day that will be. Jesus' rule will actually span the entire world. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the whole world. He will also sit on the throne of his father David, ruling over Israel. Classic book by D. G. White Pentecost. It's called Things to Come. And I'm getting this for Christmas. I cannot wait to read this. It is a classic volume by a very gifted teacher who's gone on to be with the Lord, but he wrote a premier book on Bible prophecy, specifically the book of Revelation. G. Dwight Pentecost says, the millennium will be the period of the full manifestation of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be the manifestation of glory associated with the humanity of Christ. There will be the glory of a glorious dominion in which Christ, by virtue of his obedience unto death, is given universal dominion to replace that dominion which Adam lost. There will be the glory of a glorious government in which Christ, as David's son, is given absolute power to govern. There will be the glory of a glorious inheritance in which the land and the seed promised to Abraham are realized through Christ. another gifted writer who's gone on to be with the Lord. And I actually met him 31 years ago. What a man he was. John Wolfert, in his book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, states, advocates of this view, which is the view that I hold that the millennium is a period in which Christ will literally reign on earth as its supreme political leader, and that the many promises of the Old Testament relating to a kingdom on earth in which Israel will be prominent and Gentiles will be blessed will have complete and literal fulfillment. So you might be asking the question, what does the term millennial reign mean? The word millennium is from the Latin words mille and annum. Mille means 1,000, annum means years. When both words are combined, they mean 1,000 years. The word reign means the time during which someone, such as a sovereign, reigns. Royal authority is the period of time during which a king, queen, emperor is ruler of a country. Recently, my wife and I have been looking at the fabulous series on Netflix called The Crown. It's the story of Queen Elizabeth. And as you see how she has to govern this great nation and the challenges she faces, you're thinking of this monarchy and all of the rules and the royalty. Well, let me tell you what. The rules and the royalty of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has no comparison. He will reign justly, perfectly, absolutely, sovereignly. So this is so important for us to understand. This 1,000 years that we're talking about, the millennial reign of Christ, is mentioned six times in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. And I really believe the Lord wanted to make it clear that during Jesus Christ's time of rule, he will reign for a literal 1,000 years. Now, you know, there are some that try to make this reference figurative or spiritual, but the scriptures confirm that this kingdom would be literal. Jesus will be the sovereign king with all authority, reigning physically in his earthly kingdom. Well, let's look throughout the Bible about how this all plays out toward the future millennial reign of Christ. Well, the prophet Zechariah prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem with detailed accuracy. He described Jesus being presented to the nation of Israel first as a lowly king riding on a donkey. Remember the passage? Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, this was a prophecy hundreds of years prior to when Jesus actually rode in on the donkey in Jerusalem. How humble of a king Jesus was to be presented to the nation of Israel riding on such a lowly beast as a donkey. Well, this prophecy indicated how God would use his son to redeem the earth. Zechariah also predicted his second coming and reign on the earth. He stated that Jesus would one day return and set his feet on the Mount of Olives before Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, and that he would return to earth to be king and one Lord over all the earth. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one," Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. Now, that's Zechariah. The prophet Isaiah also, as we mentioned, wrote of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. He stated that the governments should be upon his shoulder, signifying that Jesus would have full responsibility for ruling the world. Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor and the Mighty God. Well, of course, these are references to his deity, meaning he is God. He called him the Everlasting Father, Isaiah. affirming his eternal existence. Isaiah, as we pointed out, regarded him as Prince of Peace, declaring him as the true peacemaker, the one coming to bring true peace to the entire world. And finally, Jesus will sit on the throne of David, ordering and establishing it with judgment and justice. This one ascension irrefutably places him within the rich lineage and heritage of King David, of course, who is a descendant of Abraham. Now, we're going to look at this in depth, but I just want to mention the book of Revelation is referring to that kingdom for 1,000 years before the new heavens and the new earth are established in the eternal state. Now, I need to point out something, that there are differing views on this passage of Scripture. The amillennial view is a denial that there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. It is referring to a time between the first and second coming that was developed by Augustine. It was adopted by the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Ephesus. So it's a spiritualization of that particular prophecy, saying that this is referring to that time period before the first and second coming of Christ. Well, again, if you look at the methods of interpretation, the grammatical historical interpretation of Scripture is preferred, certainly above those that engage in spiritualizing the Bible through gymnastics. That's the amillennial view. The postmillennial view basically believes that the world will get better and better until the whole world is Christianized. Then Christ will return to a kingdom of peace. Now, this kind of goes back in time. One of the originators was Daniel Whitby. He was a Unitarian in England. He had some heretical views, and he embraced and propagated his viewpoint on the millennium, which we would not agree with. Now, the premillennial view is the view that I would agree with. It teaches that Christ will return to the earth literally and bodily before the millennial age begins. It says that by his presence a kingdom will be instituted over which he will reign, and that all of Israel's covenants will be literally fulfilled at that time. It will continue for 1,000 years, after which the kingdom will be given by the Son to the Father, when it will merge with his eternal kingdom. Now, I know this can get a little technical and complex, but listen to the method of interpretation I ascribe to, the grammatical historical interpretation. Why is it that the church will say in many places that that Jesus literally fulfilled prophecy in the Old Testament, his place of birth, his ministry, the Magi, his crucifixion? They will say it was all literally fulfilled. But when it comes to a future Bible prophecy, the spiritualization method is applied. And it certainly does not fall into a teachable category. It actually is a betrayal of the interpretation of Scripture. So I believe the premillennial view stands the test of Scripture. It gives a clear and balanced perspective on the end time program that God has. Here is something to remember. When the plain sense makes sense, there is no other sense unless you end up with nonsense. And so just accept the plain sense and plain teaching of Scripture. Just as Christ's first coming was so literal, so will this 1,000 years of Christ ruling on the earth be literal? Well, of course it will be. It is unreasonable to think that only part of the prophecies on his life will be fulfilled literally, and the balance not to be completed the same way. Why are we changing the rules? Okay, you understand? Well, you might ask, well, what is the purpose of this millennial reign of Christ? Well, it's to establish the physical rule of Jesus Christ in the earth. Christ will fulfill all of the Old and New Testament prophecies regarding his life. To best understand the physical prophecies concerning Jesus, remember the words of our Lord in Matthew 5:18, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot and tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What Jesus is saying is that all of the word of God will be fulfilled before heaven and earth will pass away. Many of these physical future prophecies cannot yet be fulfilled because they are linked with Christ's physical return. Now, here's something to think about. At his first coming, Jesus fulfilled 300 physical prophecies. Now, I talked about some of those prophecies on an earlier program this month, and I can replay that so that you can go through it. But the point being is that Jesus fulfilled more than 300 prophecies physically. And so discovering the prophecies of Christ's future physical reign will further help in understanding the overall purpose of the millennial reign. Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, it states that out of Judah, a governor shall come and rule God's people Israel. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 through 33, conveys that God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now, the prophet Daniel said in his book that dominion, glory, and a kingdom will be given to Jesus, and all people, nations, and languages will serve him. Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. Micah 4, 7 lets us know that Jesus will reign over Mount Zion. Isaiah speaks quite vividly of a glorious kingdom given to Jesus from God. He will be firmly established and will rule in a royal manner. And so at that time, it will be delivered with much fanfare and brilliant splendor. Can you imagine this? He will also give him the key of the house of David, which signifies authority. And he should be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Isaiah chapter 22, verses 21 through 23. So clearly, these prophecies show that Jesus will sovereignly reign over his own kingdom, which he did not fulfill completely at his first coming. The millennial kingdom is the time when all of these prophecies will be fulfilled. I want us to go right now to the premier prophecy in the book of Revelation. Chapters 6 through 19 is talking about the great tribulation, the judgments of God upon a rebellious people. In chapter 19, we see the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 20, we have the thousand-year reign. And in chapters 21 and 22, we have the eternal state, the new kingdom, the new heavens, and the new earth. In between 19 and 21, we have this period of time. So much ink has been spilled on the meaning of this particular text of Scripture. I wish I could flesh out all of the meaning in the little time that I have, but here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to read this to you with very little commentary, and you listen, because God is going to speak to you about what this is. Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. As I said in the very beginning, the deception and the corruption going on in our government and all over the world. Let me ask you a question. Are we still being deceived? Yes, I think that's pretty simple. It says that Satan is the master deceiver, that he stirs it up with nations all over the world. But Revelation 20 says there is coming a time that he will be thrown into the pit, shut up and sealed over him, so that he may not, might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. So there is coming a time when he can no longer infiltrate the hearts and minds of people. Jesus will make sure of that. Verse 4, then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads and their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is very important. This first resurrection is us, the resurrection unto life. We will actually return with Christ in his second coming, and we will reign with Christ. And those during the great tribulation, those that did not worship the beast or take his mark, will also reign with Christ for 1,000 years. It says the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. This is you and me. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. That is a glorious good news for you and me. We will reign on the earth with Christ. Revelation chapter 5 says the very same thing. Out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue, they reigned with him. Revelation chapter 21 verse 7, though, talks about another resurrection. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, but fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. We see that again, and this is a very mysterious part of Scripture, that Satan will be released for a very short time. And he will go out and engage in what he has done so good for thousands of years, deceiving the nations. But he will quickly be defeated and incarcerated forever and ever. And that is the total and complete defeat of Satan. Verse 11 is the great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Very important. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is frightening. This is that second resurrection. Now, the first resurrection are those that have trusted in Christ, in his grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, and that they are not depending on their good works to make them acceptable to God, because it's all by grace through faith in Christ. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, but our good works never save us. The first resurrection, when we reign with Christ, are all those who were truly justified and saved. But notice here how the second resurrection at the great white throne is meted out. The books were open. The book of life was open. the dead were judged by what was written into the books according to what they had done. They will be judged on their works because they have refused Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and so God will then judge them on the basis of their works, and of course, they will fall completely short of the glory of God because they did not trust Christ as Savior to justify them. Then God will show them, you are going to be judged by your works and you are doomed to fail. All of us would be doomed to fail if we were trusting in our good works to save us. And the great white throne judgment is for those people who have rejected Christ, his offer of grace and faith in the new covenant, and instead they will be judged by their filthy rags of righteousness. And they were found wanting and judged, and they were thrown into the lake of fire. This should cause us as the saints of God to wail and cry. We never want to see anyone go into eternal judgment, but that's going to happen. It will happen, and that's why we should always be praying and always be busy diligently telling people the good news of Christ. But here is this thousand-year reign, that section of Scripture between the first coming. We saw that Jesus comes back in Revelation chapter 19. It's between the return of Christ and the new heavens and the new earth. Those thousand years of absolute peace until Satan is set free for just a short time and then judged and cast into the lake of fire. This is a glorious section of Scripture. And I want us to think about this morning. When we think about the corruption and the turmoil and the violence and the evil in our world, we can look forward one day as we return with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and reign with him on the earth. It's a glorious truth. It is something that we can look forward to. It is a future of peace, true peace, true righteousness upon this planet, and then the eternal state, then the new heavens, and then the new earth. A glorious time to look forward to in the future. I want us to think about that as we listen to this beautiful Christmas song from Chris Tomlin entitled, He Shall Reign. beautiful song of worship, He Shall Reign, Chris Tomlin. This morning on the Cross in the Desert, we're talking about He Shall Reign, this future millennial reign. Isaiah chapter 2 is a very beautiful passage that coincides with everything I've been saying. It says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and the nations, all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." You know, we have been talking about that future reign, that peace, that perfect peace for 1,000 years. But what about the peace between you and God? What about your heart right now? Is there a real peace between you and God? You know, the Bible says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. And through his death and burial and resurrection, he achieved that great plan of salvation where you can step out of the darkness, the turmoil, into the kingdom of light. Jesus is that perfect peace between God and man. And you get into a right relationship with God by simply crying out to him. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible is very clear. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one boast." This is the good news of Christmas. This is the good news of unwrapping the beautiful gift of Christ, that he will reign not only on the earth in the future, but reign right now in your heart, that he brings peace and forgiveness into your life. The turmoil, the uncertainty, the fear is wiped away when Christ comes to live and to reign in your heart. And so today, this may be your day. If you think about what I've been saying and you understand a little bit about the future when Christ comes and returns, the question is, are you ready right now? Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. There are no chances, no second chances in the grave after death. Behold, today is the day of salvation, the Bible teaches. And so I invite you to know him right now, to allow him to bring peace and hope and forgiveness in your life and in your heart. The most important thing you should take away from today is that Jesus needs to reign as Lord and Savior in your heart. And if that is you, you've never done that before, today is one of the most important days of your life to cry out to Jesus and to ask him to come and be Lord and Savior. He has done everything that is necessary in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Jesus is the only hope that this world has. If you're like me and you've been through a horrendous year of testing, you know that in the end, when everything is said and done, all you need is Christ. He is all that you need. He is everything that you need. He is the only hope for humanity. Jesus, the light of the world, the hope of the world. And so today, I just ask you, if you've never done it before, step out and trust him. Let him reign in your heart. He will come and give you a new heart and a new spirit. He will wipe away all of your guilt and all of your shame. There is no such thing as the worst person in the world whom God will not show mercy toward, because God is merciful. He will save anyone who calls upon his name and invites Christ into their heart. So I want to thank you so much for allowing me to teach you this morning, to share with you this glorious millennial reign that is going to come upon this earth one day, when all corruption and evil and death and dying will be no more, and Jesus will reign. I look forward to it, and I thank you so much. I want you to have a great weekend. I want you to take care of yourself. Wear your mask. Be careful. Be good. And just have a great weekend. I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert. God bless you.